Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all this morning. Thanks for coming to the Sunday School Hour and remembering that you are in this room instead of in your other classrooms. Maybe there's other people in there that haven't remembered yet. Lord willing, they'll be in here shortly. And so it's a great time that we have for this next hour or so, and again during the service as well, to have Kyle Ferran with us and his wife Heather. Kyle is going to be for the next hour sharing some things about himself, things about his family, updates from his ministry and the like. And so we just have a wonderful opportunity to be blessed by hearing what the Lord is doing through Kyle and Heather overseas in Europe. And I'm going to stop talking and let Kyle come up here and just do that. So, Kyle.
All right. Well, let's pray. Definitely, Father, we just want to thank you for what a good God you are. We thank you for the opportunity to be together today and just to hear a little bit about what's going on in Western Europe and some different ways to be praying and getting involved in that. And we thank you for the work that you're doing here in West Liberty and around this area, Lord, through this church. And I just pray that you will just use this time today to encourage hearts and to just to give clarity on how to be involved in the work you're doing. And we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. Well, as Colby mentioned, my name is Kyle Ferran. My wife Heather is here with me today, and it is an absolute joy for us to be with you, and we're looking forward to reconnecting with many of you today. And we are just so thankful for your part in the ministry. Your church has partnered with us for many, many years, and we're just so grateful for that because we couldn't do what we do without you. So thank you for your partnership in the ministry. Your lives are impacting lives around the world. And so we just want to thank you for your involvement in the ministry. This morning, I just want to give a brief update on some things that are going on in our ministry and just give a little introduction to us for those of you who have not met us yet. And then in the morning service, I'll be taking some time to share from the Word of some things that God has encouraged my life with, and some things that we challenge our missionaries with as we work with the missionaries around Western Europe. Our family has changed quite a bit in the last 19 years since we went into missions. This is our family now. Our oldest daughter, Abby, is married now, and she lives up in Minnesota with her husband, Connor, and she has just finished her master's in international relations. And they just purchased their first house, so she's in renovation mode right now. Emily is a senior at Cedarville University and studying elementary education and special education. She'll be graduating in May, and so we've just been able to spend the weekend down with her, and so that's been real nice. You can pray for her as she graduates this coming May and starts looking for a job down in the Xenia Beaver Creek area, and that God will be providing a location for her to be able to move into her teaching role there. Natalie is now our travel buddy, and she enjoys surfing, she takes Krav Maga classes, has a great group of friends in high school, and she's a sophomore this year, and so we're trying to do some college visits this year as we plan ahead for her launching in the next couple of years. All the girls have attended Greater Lisbon Christian Academy, which is a Christian school that our mission board runs. And it serves about 8 different mission agencies. So we have helping church planters from multiple different groups there to be able to stay in the country. And we are in need of some teachers and helpers. You know, Barrett Wells came and was a big help a while back. And so that was a real blessing. But we have a place for teachers to stay. So you have a house, you get a car, and about 300 days of sun. So if that's interesting, you can talk to my wife Heather after the service and learn more about that. But we're always needing teachers, whether they're young teachers, retired teachers, coming to serve for a year, 2 years, or long term. So there's a lot of really great options there. And please be praying about that God be providing those teachers for those students, which allows a lot of church planters to be able to stay and minister there in Portugal. We've lived in Lisbon, Portugal for 7.5 years now, and it's very different than Africa. Portugal seems to have it all. It has hiking, beautiful palaces, gorgeous castles, castle walls, coastlines, and we live just outside of Lisbon, and so get to enjoy its beauty as well as its really good gelato. So there are some other benefits there too. Can't enjoy that too much though. What we really enjoy though is our church family that we're a part of. We're a part of an international church plant there, which has two services. It has an English service and also a Portuguese service. And our international service has about 8 to 10 different languages there every Sunday that are just a part of that group. And we enjoy having new people into our home and helping them feel like they have a home in their distant land. And this picture was taken in our old sanctuary. So we were at overflowing for a number of months, almost years. And so we would spend a lot of times we were out on the sidewalk. That was our foyer was the sidewalk. So we were out in the foyer. And so God has just recently provided a new building after we maxed out our building. And that has been a huge answer to prayer as we've just moved into that in December. And so this picture was taken the first Sunday we were there. And just an incredible blessing to have the space to be able to invite new people to come visit us in church. My role as regional director, Heather and I get to serve as a team in that. And our main goal is expanding the gospel's reach through church planting. And most of the missionaries we serve are in some form of church planting or church strengthening. And our main focus is on equipping and encouraging missionaries as they plant churches and spread the gospel. So, however, one of the struggles that we face is that the average time that missionaries spend on the field is only 4 years. And that statistic is pretty much for across mission agencies. So it's not just our mission agency, it's across mission agencies. And so you think about that, it takes 1 to 3 years for support raising to go through that. And even before that, you have some training time. 1 to 3 years for support raising, you get to the field, what do you have to do? Usually you just can't rock up and start talking. You have to learn the language. So you have another 1 to 3 years of language learning. So if someone's leaving around the four-year mark, they've had about a year max of being able to actually get involved in ministry. So that's not very much time, not enough time definitely to see churches planted. And so one of our key roles is doing whatever we can to help those missionaries stay on the field long term. Another really shocking part of that statistic is that of those people that leave the field, so 50% leave the field in the first 4 years, the majority of those are for preventable reasons, like marriage struggles, family and child-related issues, unmet expectations, and team conflict. Those are the top ones. So anything we can do to help with that, working through conflicts, helping them have realistic expectations, helping challenge them in their family and marriage life, those help people stay on the field. And so anything we can do to help those people stay allows churches to get planted and the gospel to continue to spread. Paul challenges us in Ephesians 4:12 to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And so there's a few different ways that we work on equipping the missionaries. First is a church planting strategy. We work with missionaries and teams and team leaders to develop church planting and ministry strategies and evaluate and pray through where would be the best places to plant a new church. Another is developing leaders. We spend a lot of time with our team leaders, working with them to help them grow as leaders, both in person and regular calls with them. And as we work with these leaders and as they grow, they're able to better lead their teams and work through different conflicts that come up, or to help onboard new missionaries, or to help give strategy and focus to the ministries that they're trying to work on. And just as Jethro worked with Moses and he said, hey, you know, it's not good that you try to do this all alone, we realized very, very quickly, there's no way that we can do all of this. Our primary focus is trying to help equip these leaders to do the role and to help encourage and help them through that and work with them. And by doing that, we're able to impact far, far more than if we tried to do everything ourselves. Another part of this is mentoring and coaching. And so we do a lot of mentoring and coaching with our missionaries and with the team leaders in each country, just talking through different challenges, helping them find solutions and answers and pray through those with them. Mobilizing new missionaries is part of this, from when they apply to when they get to the field. And we're just enjoy being able to be a part of that process of helping people think through how God is leading them. Creating resources. 2 years ago, we were able to launch a podcast called Missions Life, Navigating Life, Leadership, and Ministry Abroad. And this is for missionaries, people considering missions, churches, just to better understand church life, missions life, and how they can be involved in that in a greater way. In 2 weeks, I have another book coming out called Godly Grit, and this is just another way to encourage and challenge both missionaries and others on how to live with resilience and grit in the face of challenges. And so that's another part of just encouraging and equipping people, helping them have the right expectations. Missions is hard. If you have really, really expectations of it, it's going to be easy, you're not going to last very long. And so this is just a way to encourage people and challenge them with those expectations. Another part is encouraging. In Acts 14:22, it says that Paul went around to the churches strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. Just a few ways that we encourage others. First is visiting them. This last September, we were able to visit some missionaries, the Hilburns, up in Scotland, and they're just starting their ministry there. And this is the Hilburns in front of their church building that they're a part of there. And we visited on a Sunday, we're able to see their church, able to meet with their Scottish church planting partners there. And missionaries love to show us where they minister, who they minister with. And it may seem like a small thing, but it is very encouraging them to be able to show someone, hey, this is where I live. This is where we work. This is the area that we're trying to connect with and have an outreach to. And we're also able to sit down with them and have a debrief, just to talk through, what are the challenges you're facing? What are the hard things? We found that doing that allows people to vocalize that, verbalize that, so that it doesn't just build up so we don't hear about it when they're ready to leave, which sometimes happens. And so the more times we're able to connect with people on a debriefing level allows them to be able to process those things and figure out how do we work through those before they become too big. I know that when we were first on our first years on the field, every month, Mike Eckstein called me. He was the only one that did, every month. And that was a huge, huge help to us being able to press on. And so those kind of relationships, to be able to challenge people in that way on a regular basis, we've seen it personally for our lives. We want to be able to do that same thing for other people as well. We all know that our work in the Lord is never in vain. But it is good to be reminded of that sometimes so that we don't forget. And we get to be the people that remind people of that. Conflict resolution is another part of our ministry. Now, this picture is actually a healthy team. If it was a not healthy team, they wouldn't be smiling. But when there's conflict, yeah, people aren't smiling. And that is one of the big reasons that people end up leaving the field is because of team conflict. So part of our role is to help teams work together better, to work through different challenges and conflicts. And this is one of the not fun part of our jobs. It's one of the parts that you're not going to see in our prayer letters. But whenever there's people around, conflict happens. And so we need to be able to work through that. And that's one of the ways that we show love to our teams is by helping work through those conflicts. And it means some uncomfortable conversations sometimes, but we can't just hope that problems go away and ignore them. We have to be able to address them and love them enough to be able to address those. So that's one of the areas that is not in our prayer letters, but you can always pray for us on that, that God gives us wisdom and courage and endurance to push through some of those challenges. Some people ask us and ask other missionaries, why Europe? You know, why send missionaries to Europe? You know, didn't the Reformation happen there? Aren't there churches that are as old as our country? Yes and yes, but it is a post-Christian continent. It is no longer a Christian continent. It's easy to think that Europe is reached and doesn't need missionaries, but evangelical churches are very few and far between. You don't drive through town and see a church in every corner. It is not that way. Check out these statistics. This is a percentage of evangelical churches. In Ireland, Spain, France, and Italy, it's all less than 1% evangelical. Germany's 2%, Portugal's about 3%, and a lot of that is because of immigration from Brazil. England and Scotland are both less than 3% attend any kind of church regularly. So that leaves a pretty wide variety of churches there. And over the past few years, we've seen a rise in Wicca, Satanism, other old cults, as people are searching for answers. People need the gospel. People need churches to be planted there. We oversee about 90 missionaries. Most of them are helping plant churches, and they're involved in 26 different churches around Western Europe, either church planting, church strengthening, or church revitalization. And they're located in 8 countries: Portugal, Spain, France, Germany, Italy, England, Ireland, and Scotland. So what is God doing in Western Europe? One of the stories I just want to share with you comes from Spain. Spain has all the typical problems that most of the other Western Europe countries have. People are untrusting of Christians, are really hesitant to go to a church. And because of this, they're really also hesitant to talk to people about God. And the Byerlys are some missionaries that are in Spain, and they wanted to be able to have a place, a way that they could talk to people about the Lord. And so they actually opened up a coffee shop. And this coffee shop, they serve great coffee, but they also have a lot of really good conversations with people. They also, when we visited them, it was absolutely packed. And the other thing they also do is have conversational English classes in the evenings. And these classes have a waiting list for, I think, 9 months, that people really, really want to be involved in this. In the last few classes, the topics are God and spirituality. They're able to have these conversations with people. It's in a safe place. And God is using that to really challenge people's hearts to think about their relationship with the Lord. The coffee shop is also located near a women's soccer stadium, and a lot of the players will come in there. And one of the players had really been struggling with anxiety and depression. And she was talking with her counselor, and her counselor was asking her, well, is there anything that helps? She's like, well, you know, there's this one cafe that I go to, and I just feel so much peace there. And the counselor's like, well, you should probably keep going then. And so she did. But what was interesting was that in her interactions with the Byerlys, that she saw there was peace there, and that there was something that was different about them than anywhere else, that she found that and was able to have lots of conversations with them. And so we don't know what God's done in her life, but people see a difference in the lives that we live, and being able to share that peace, God is using that to reach people's lives with the gospel. In Portugal, we have a lot of immigrants, and they get jobs as Uber Eats drivers, many of them. And one of our missionaries, Rob Jackson, really had a desire to be reaching out to these Uber Eats drivers, and so he didn't want to do it alone, so he brought along some people from the church, and they started going and talking with these guys as they were just waiting around the mall for their next delivery call. And at first, the guys in the church were a little hesitant to come because there's a little bit of a stigma for the immigrants, and they also hadn't done it before. So Rob's like, hey, look, I'll teach you. I'll show you how to be able to reach people with the gospel. And so they went along, and at first they were a little hesitant, but after going through, they're like, this is great. One of the guys has said, you know what, I want to be able to do this. And so he's now organizing these groups to go and meet with these Uber Eats drivers. In France, the Betzes are constantly connecting with people in their town and their community, whether through sports or just meeting people around town and then inviting them to their homes, having meals with them, doing Bible studies. In this photo here, they're having a Thanksgiving meal with people from their town. And one of the guys in the picture, Tyler's been doing regular Bible studies with. And a while back, this guy that he was doing Bible studies with said, you know, over the past 2 weeks, for the first time in my life, I began to look at myself as a sinner. This study has been really helpful for me this morning. And then a few weeks later, we just heard that he became a Christian, and he came to put his faith in Christ. And as this couple is building relationships with people, God is using them to be able to have conversations and talk to the people about the Lord, and God is bringing people to saving faith in himself. The Reynolds are in England. They just recently started a new church plant. Their first church plant was able to kind of get up to the point where it was independent, and so they turned it over to an English pastor, and they have stepped out and started another church. In this picture here, they're doing a local outreach to be able to reach people in the community. And they shared that God is allowing a lot of the church members to be having one-on-one Bible studies with people in the community that are just interested in learning about the Bible. And some of these people have come to faith in Christ and just recently gotten baptized. As people hear God's word, lives are changed. There's some ways that you can be specifically praying. Pray for God, as I said, just to give us wisdom to lead well as we work through challenges, just difficulties. Pray that God would give us the wisdom to lead well. We always need guidance to make good daily decisions. Another prayer request is we need more missionaries. Sharing the gospel in Europe is a slow process, and it involves relationship building, connecting with people in the communities. And if God's been working in your heart towards missions, I encourage you to come talk to us afterwards, talk to the pastor, take the next step towards missions. Another prayer request is just for some finances. Because our landlords told us this last year, hey, I'm looking to sell your apartment. So he offered for us to buy it, or he's going to be selling it in the near future. So we're not sure when that is, but we've know that the cost of living has doubled since we started there. So we're trying to raise some extra funds for that. So we're trying to raise about $450 a month in monthly support, or about $5,400 in annual support. So you can pray for God's provision in that. And then we've also just recently had some large medical bills and a wonderful, unexpected vehicle problem that totaled up to about $19,000. And so that's some one-time expenses. So you can just be praying for God's provision for those one-time expenses and the monthly or annual donations to be able to help with cost of living. If you feel the Lord leading you to get involved in that, out on our back table there, we have some prayer cards and some give cards that have a little QR code that you can just click on there. And then also we have a prayer letter list. If you'd like to be able to get our prayer updates, we won't overload you with emails, we promise you on that. But if you'd like to be able to find out more about how to pray, you can get signed up for that. And then also when that book releases in a couple weeks, I'll send out an announcement when it's available on Amazon as well. And if you're at the back table there is a little matching game. So you can test your absolute amazing geographical knowledge of Western Europe. Some of the kids get it better than adults. So maybe, you know, you can test it out, see if you can match the countries to the different objects there. And so it's a fun little thing there. But we really appreciate your guys' partnership and prayers in the gospel. It's such a great joy for us to be able to come back and reconnect with many of you here. One of the final things I just want to ask you to pray for, and I'm going to finish a little bit early here, and then I'm going to have my wife come up and share a few things, and then we may have some time for some questions. So if you think of any, you're welcome to ask those in a few minutes here. But as I mentioned, we have about 26 churches in these eight countries that we're a part of. And one of the things that we're praying for is that God would send the missionaries to be able to start eight new churches in the next 7 years. So eight churches in 7 years is what we're praying that God's provision for. And that's going to take at least eight church planters, Lord willing, 16 to be able to tag team on a church, because sometimes when you go on furlough, you need someone to be there. So we're praying that God will send us about 16 church planting couples. So a key part to that is that the more missionaries, God may be working on someone's heart here today. And I just encourage you to pray through, how does he want you to be involved? Does he want you to be more involved in giving, in praying, or is he calling you to go? And if he's calling you to go, I really challenge you to talk to your leaders. You know, in the book of Acts, we see the example of the church identifying leaders and missionaries to send out. And so, you know, as leaders, be looking for the people in your church that God is working in their lives to be able to send them out. Who are you challenging to take those next steps to prepare for missions and ministry? And when you see God at work in people's lives, have those I see in you conversations. This is what I see God doing in your life. Challenge them to take those next steps. The countries that we're especially praying for are Spain, Germany, and Italy, which have a great, great need for church planters to really focus on there. Well, we want to get ones in all the countries, but we're really focusing on those three countries and having a special need. So I just encourage you, please be praying with us about that. Eight churches in 7 years. Pray that God would send the missionaries for that. And one of the very simple ways you can do that is if you have one of those things called a phone. They have this really cool app called an alarm. And you can set an alarm for 9:38, which links up with Matthew 9:38, which says, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so if we were to pray earnestly, that's just a really simple reminder to pray. And so he pops up and it says, pray for harvesters. And it's a very simple reminder to be able to fulfill that command to pray for harvesters and join us in praying for that. So at this time, I was going to have Heather come up, and she's going to share a few different things that missionaries don't tell you. And is this mic going to be on for her? Great. No, you can use this one here.
One of the things that we love to share with churches is three things that missionaries don't tell you, but ways that you can specifically be praying. We've spent the last 10 and a half years sitting around kitchen tables, washing dishes together, having those backyard barbecue conversations with missionaries. And those are the times when the real heart concerns come out and get shared. And they're usually not the things that get put in the prayer request. So we love being able to share those secret three things with churches, encouraging you to pray for these things, specifically for your missionaries that you support. The first thing I want to share is loneliness. The mission field, and I'm sorry, but I get emotional every time I do this talk, and I've done it many times, so bear with me. But loneliness, missionaries get lonely. When you leave your home culture, your friends, your families, the situations where you know how to interact and how to make friends and step into a different culture, it's really hard to make friends, especially deep, meaningful connections. And sometimes for missionaries, if they're in a culture that's very different from their own, that deep connection never really comes. Now, missionaries love the people that they're serving. And when they write in their prayer letter that they love the people in their churches and love ministry, they're not lying. But sometimes that deep heart connection isn't there. That person that they can just go out to coffee with the next day after they've had a tough ministry day. It can be really lonely. I would really encourage you to pray that your missionaries would be able to find a deep connection on their field. Maybe it is another missionary. Maybe it's someone else that is like an expat in their country, or someone within the church that they're working with, or even someone back here from the States who really pursues a relationship with them. Even though it might be across an ocean, those constant touches with someone that they feel safe with can really be a huge encouragement. Another area that can be a real struggle for missionaries is the dry seasons in ministry. And those happen. And they're discouraging. And one of the reasons that they're discouraging is because how do you write home into a prayer letter that nothing's going on? That you haven't had a good gospel conversation in months? How do you say that, wow, I don't know if this church is going to survive. We're really struggling in this church plant. The dry seasons in ministry can come really frequently, but they can be devastatingly challenging in a heart that wants to see the gospel move forward, that feels responsible to steward what they've been given well. When a sending or supporting church comes to a missionary and says, hey, we want to pray you through the dry seasons, that is life-giving. Not many people pitch up when things aren't going really, really well. But as a supporting church, you have the opportunity to say, hey, we want to hear the good stuff, but we want to know especially about those dry seasons because we want to encourage you, we want to cheerlead you, and we want to pray through those dry seasons with you. A third area that doesn't get put in prayer letters very often is when MKs are struggling. It's not something you necessarily want to broadcast around to all of the churches and people that get your email prayer letter is when your kids are struggling. But there's some specific ways that MKs struggle on the mission field. It can be very lonely for MKs. People come and go so fast. They're surrogate aunties and uncles and grandparents and their best friends. Sometimes get pulled off the field quickly, or they go home on a furlough and don't end up raising their support and never come back. There's a constant revolving door in an MK's life that sometimes we don't acknowledge enough. And I know that was one of the things that I didn't do well when my kids were young, was acknowledging that constant grief that was going on in their lives. Another thing that's hard with MKs is sometimes education or being in a national school where you're trying to learn the language and do schooling, or maybe there's learning disabilities and some countries don't handle those very well. There can be a lot of challenges getting resources for MKs that are having problems when you're in a country that doesn't maybe have very many resources. Pray for your MKs. Pray that they can, as Kyle says a lot, run their roots deep into God and not necessarily their circumstances, because their circumstances change a lot. Our kids have moved through 3 different countries and 3 different cultures and 3 different languages, and it's been a challenge. It's been hard every single time. MKs can also feel the burden of making sure they don't mess up their parents' ministry. If an MK says, Mom and Dad, I'm really struggling, I need help, and that might involve leaving the field for a little bit or finding a different resource somewhere outside of the field, it can be a huge burden on an MK that maybe they are ruining their parents' ministry. When you pray for your MKs, pray for their relationship with God. Pray for their relationship with other people, that they would have strong support. Pray for their openness with their parents, that they would not feel the burden of the ministry and could share openly the things that they're struggling with. And also, when MKs are here to visit your church, and Grace, you do this well, I will say that our girls have always loved coming to visit Grace because of how you interact with them. But the interactions that the supporting churches can have with the MKs are their only touch sometimes to the American church. And when they have to come back from college, or if they get a job here back in the States, a lot of MKs struggle with jumping back into the American church. So as you guys get to greet and love on MKs, just ask good questions. Be interested in their day in, day out life. It really matters, and our girls have been impacted deeply by the churches that really interact with them well, and it can really help when MKs have to transition back to America for university. So we would appreciate it if you guys would keep those things in mind as you pray for your missionaries that you support. It really does make a difference, and as you reach out to your missionaries and say, man, I'm praying for this, it is so encouraging. So thank you for that.
You can, Heather, you can stay close by for questions. One other thing that I did remember to mention is this is a little bit different, but this coming September, I have organizing a motorcycles and missions trip. So for any of your bikers out there, it's going to be a trip in Portugal and Spain, taking about a week. Do some writing, but just talk about missions, look at some different ministry sites where we're involved in missions. Just talk about what's involved in missions during that time. And so if there's anyone that enjoys motorcycles, you can talk to me afterwards or find out a little bit more about that. So just an opportunity to explore some outside the country. So, but anyone have any questions that you'd like to be able to ask? We have a little bit of time left here. Yes. Just the blue areas are just different countries that we're not, that we are not have, we don't have missionaries in. Some different countries there. Yep. We did have someone in Norway, but just due to some illness, they had to leave the country. So we don't have anyone there right now anymore. Yes.
Excuse me, about the coffee shop. And it said, you said about people having trouble trusting Christians. What is the
law? Yeah, so a lot of the countries that we work in are historically Catholic. And so the evangelical churches are kind of, people aren't really quite sure what to do with them. They're not, they don't really understand what's going on in those churches. And so they're a little untrusting of anything that's not Catholic, because many of the countries were culturally Catholic. So it's like, well, if I'm Irish, I'm Catholic, even if they don't go to church. And so they have a distrust towards those. We've noticed that what was interesting though is that God really used COVID as it pushed all of our churches to go online, to have services online, that a lot of individuals would watch online to be like, well, what is this church really about? Because that may be curiosity at first, but it allowed it to be kind of like an easy front door for people to be able to understand what the church is about. So we had one family that came to one of the churches in Portugal and walked in one day and greeted the pastor, and the pastor's like, oh, have you been here before? He's like, no, we've been watching online for last year, and so we know you and your son over there, but they had needed that amount of time to really get comfortable enough to feel, to understand that, hey, this wasn't a cult, this wasn't really just way out there, but it was different, so people could be, it could normalize it a little bit. Anything else to add to that?
Yeah, so much of Christianity in Europe is just seen as part of their history. You know, we have these big, huge, beautiful cathedrals and stuff that no one's in worshiping. It's just for tourism. And that's kind of how the church is viewed, as something that's historical. So to have a vibrant church service with people that want to be there is kind of like, there's a lot of skepticism about the church.
Yep. Good question, though. Someone. Oh, there. Yes, Jay. We have about 26 churches that support us. And then we have about 40% of our support comes from churches, and then about 60% comes from individuals. No, it hasn't typically trended in that direction. So yeah, we're sharing it in all of our churches that we're visiting. We visit about half of our churches each furlough. We're sharing it there and sharing it on our prayer letters. And you know, God's been bringing it in already. We've had some come in. So it was when we left in December to come here, it was about $1,000. And so God's already brought in a big chunk of that. And so we'll keep praying that He brings the rest of it in. He's provided the last 20 years. He keeps connecting us with new people and providing in different ways. So new people or new businesses. It's interesting enough that we've really seen a big shift in the last. So we went to the field 19 years ago, and when we went to the field, it was 60% churches supported us, and now it's flip-flopped. So we have 40% churches and 60% individuals, or we have a bunch of business owners now that have started taking us on for like an annual lump sum. And so it's been neat to see how God's provided over the years. We never know exactly how He's going to provide, but it does grow your faith as he puts the test out there and be like, all right, this is what we need. If he wants to keep us there, he provides it. Just like we have to trust him for our visas every few years, we have to renew those. It's always just a you just never know what's going to happen on that.
Yeah. Another prayer request for Western Europe. Visas are getting harder and harder to obtain. Countries are changing the religious visas. Some of them are completely dropping it. In Portugal, we have some missionaries sitting in the States that should be over in Portugal, but they can't even get a visa appointment. So that's becoming a huge prayer request, is just how are we going to maintain our visas and get new visas for missionaries? There's a lot of conversations with thinking outside of the box with that. Natalie's renewal is coming up in August. And you'd think that, well, if her parents have valid visas, the child would get valid visas. Well, we just had our school administrator in Portugal, the husband got approved, she got denied. We have another family that the husband and a kid got denied, and the mom and the two other kids got approved. So it's a very difficult situation to navigate. So just be praying about our visas.
Yep. Yeah, it's always a faith builder on that. So yeah, you can be praying for all those things that God provides and lays it on people's hearts to get involved as he does. What's one of the things that's been encouraging, that God's work never lacks God's supply. He lays it on people's hearts to go, and he lays it on people's hearts to give. And he puts all of us in different roles that we all receive heavenly rewards for what he's called us to do. And he's called us all to do different things. And so that's just been an encouragement in that he works and provides from the way he wants to work. So yes. So every now and then, so our ministry has shifted a little bit so that we don't really have as many opportunities for us specifically to work for short-termers. But there are churches and missionaries that we have that sometimes that'll have like a VBS or some kind of English camp sometimes. So there are some different ways that churches can get involved in sending a group to be a part of that.
We've had work teams come over and do a project at the school.
Yes, that's
we've
huge.
We've also had church teams come over and kind of put on like a VBS type thing at the school. So there's some options.
Yeah. Yeah. So we just kind of take, as people contact us, and kind of the general size of the team, we try to find an opportunity and connect them up with someone. Sometimes we've had churches come and help at a regional conference, we have a conference each year right around the week of Thanksgiving. And so sometimes people will come over and help with the kids or things like that so that the missionaries can be involved in that. So, yep.
Really quickly, Emily says, thank you for the Valentine's cookie box.
Yeah, this
favorite
is
favorite thing that shows up in the mail.
Yeah, this is one of the few churches that sends things to college students, so I encourage you to keep doing that. That is a really, it may seem like a small thing, but it's a really big thing for when MKs come back and they're like, oh, those are our churches too, not just those are my parents' churches. So little things like that really do mean a lot to MKs when they come back to the States, because we're on the other side of the world. And so to be able to know that churches are praying for them, that means a lot to MKs. So those little things like that helps remind them that, hey, they're not forgotten. They're not just kind of like a tag along, but they're part of the ministry too. So we appreciate that. Any other burning questions? Doesn't have to be about ministry. It can be something weird, So we haven't got attacked by any animals in Portugal, so that's behind us, I think, now for Africa. So, yeah, Zach.
What spurred you to write that second book?
Going through lots of challenges. is kind of the summary of it. Just learning to deal with challenges. And so in leadership and just life, you know, you go through a lot of challenges. I think in leadership, you kind of get like the fast track version of that because you get everybody else's challenges too. And so I realized, so the first book I wrote was Overflowing, that it was a lot of a character. Like that's the foundation of how do you step into leadership. And then there's competencies of learning how to actually lead, where it says in Psalms that David led with an upright heart and a skillful hand. So you have character and competencies. And what I realized, though, is there's a third part, and that's the courage to actually make it through. Like, how are you actually going to survive leadership? How are you going to sleep at night when you're dealing with conflicts and challenges? And so this book is about how do you deal with challenges in a way that gives you the proper perspective on them to be able to have the courage and the perseverance to press through for the long haul. It's not just being the right person or knowing what to do. It's how do you do it and have the courage to be able to face those challenges on a regular basis. And so that's just been really just my journey of learning how to do that. And so it's really just my journal that I turn into a book form of things that encourage me and that I go back to on a regular basis to encourage me. Like, what are the perspectives that I need to have as I face these challenges? This morning I'm going to share actually four of the 20-some perspectives in the message, but just looking at challenges differently changes how we feel about them. It helps us to keep our joy and our perseverance to press through because it can get hard. And so how do we look at those in a way that gives us the perseverance and endurance to press on? So, yep. Conflicts, one of those challenges is conflicts, and that's definitely part of that. But we all face different kinds of challenges, but how it affects us is really similar. It affects every part of us. It affects us emotionally, physically. So how do we work through those challenges that will inevitably come? No matter what life path we're on, we will face those challenges. So, yeah. Yes, Rick. I'll share
fabulous.
A few things. Yeah, I'll let you start.
Okay.
Yes, so the food is amazing there. So every country is a little bit different. So we do get to travel around a few different countries. So in Portugal, they'd have a lot of really good seafood. So if you like seafood, they have a lot of really good seafood there. The gelato is amazing. Pretty much just across the board in Europe, the gelato is really, really good. They have these little custard pastries called pastel de nata. And those are really, really good, dangerously good. And their bread the bread in Portugal and France is very, very good. What are the other things you? So we have to be really careful though, because you can't enjoy it too much. So we have to, you know, work on our exercise and everything to be able to enjoy a few of those things.
I'm definitely a coffee shop person, and so I love like Portuguese Italian coffee. And what is dangerous is that those little pastel de nata. And a Bica cafe, you can run through a cafe and for like 70 cents get both of them. And it's very much a cafe culture. Like everybody has their normal little neighborhood cafe that they know everybody who's in there. It's loud, everybody's, you know, talking, and you kind of stand at the counter. You might sit down if you're gonna be there for a bit, but you run through and you order and you pound your cafe and, you know, you keep on going. So I really enjoy the cafe culture and the really good coffee.
Yep.
But we do eat well. We in all of our countries, there's been something that's been special to that country that's fun to learn. I mean, and you try some things you don't like, and we still try some things we don't like in different countries. We were just up in Scotland with the missionary, and she really wanted us to try haggis, and I don't know if I could do that one again. But I was a good missionary, and I took my one bite and said, you know, so.
That's where the saying comes from. Like, where he leads me, I will follow. What he feeds me, I will swallow.
Right. It's still, even in Europe, you know, we thought maybe we had left the bugs and worms behind in Africa, but even in Europe, God is challenging our palate, so.
Yeah.
But it is fun to explore new foods.
Yep. Our kids, a lot of times if we need to tell them, if we're trying to help them remember where we were, actually we just tell them what food we had there, and then they're like, oh, yeah, I remember that place. So it's the that's how they remember places, by food. So.
They're adventurous with food also.
Yes, they like their octopus and other things that they've grown up with.
Oxtail stew. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So culinary adventures. Are any other questions? Yeah.
So what percent of your ministry do you say
keeps you traveling? So I typically will travel around 8 times a year, and about a third of those I'll do by myself. A third of them, Heather and I will go together, and about a third of them, our daughter Natalie will come with us. So and most of those trips are between 3 to 5 days. So not too bad. Like we're 50 right now. You can be praying that when we do have to move, that we'll find a place close to the airport again, because we're a 15-minute Uber drive to the airport. So I'll get in them on a morning, go to the airport, and then like 3 days later, in the evening, I'll be back. And so it's super easy and quick. That was one of the things that we really tried to evaluate on how to do that. So some of the trips are we'll go and we'll visit. Sometimes we'll go and we'll go around to all the different people's houses and visit with them individually. And then the next time we'll just do a team meeting, or at a team retreat, so we're with everybody, so we're not like taking a whole week to go around England, because our missionaries are spread around. So like when we have, like in England, some of our missionaries are like 6 or 7 hours apart from each other. So it's like you go and it's ding, 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 ding around to visit everyone. So it's a lot of travel that way. But typically about 8 trips a year, but not too long. So it's worked well for us. When Natalie graduates, we'll probably do a bit more traveling, but we've tried to really balance it out for what works well for our family to be able to maintain good family life as well. So, yeah, good question. All right, well, we'll go ahead and close in prayer, and then feel free to catch us out back at the table or before we get there, whatever. But we'd love to be able to chat with you if you have any other questions. So, Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for what a good God you are. And we just thank you for allowing each of us to be a part of the work that you were doing to spread the gospel, whether it's here or abroad. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for this church that has just been part of this ministry for over 20 years. And I just thank you so much for their involvement, and just pray for your blessing here on the church, that you would be allowing your word to continue to spread through them to their community, Lord, and to the world from there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.